Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Merry Christmas. It's an early calling out of Merry Christmas, but it's great that you can come and join us this night for carols. I've come back after just a very small vacation, and it's lovely to be here worshipping the Lord, and so many visitors have joined us tonight. And Melbourne, despite the traffic, is regarded in lots of surveys as such a livable city. It is a great city to enjoy Christmas celebrations. But I'd like you just to favour me with just a little bit of escapism. Indulge me if you would. Would you just, for a sec, just close your eyes. And as you do that, I want you to imagine a location where you go, ah, yes, that's where I want to celebrate Christmas. Close your eyes, just let your mind drift. Where would you like to? You might be thinking, oh yeah, but I couldn't afford it. So as your eyes are closed, just with open hands, assume that I've just come and put in your hands an all expenses paid voucher. There are no money restrictions here. Just dream a little bit. Where would you like to go and enjoy Christmas this year? I wonder where you've gone. I mean, there is just so many wonderful locations that we could go to, especially with that voucher in your hand. So at the risk of being too selective, and because we've only got a short time together, I've picked four. And I wonder if you wouldn't mind, just if there are people who would also like to go to these when we come to those, you might just want to raise your hand and say, yep, that's a place I'd like to go and spend this Christmas. And of course, we've got to start with the land of Oz. Who would like to go somewhere in Australia this year? Oh, we lived in the States for nearly 2 years, and everywhere there were American flags and there was nationalism. Like, look at this. I mean, Australian Tourist Board, eat your heart out. Okay, well, there's nothing particularly exciting, obviously, to this group about Australia. What about this one? Doesn't have to be Switzerland, but a white Christmas in the Alps, anyone? Hence, oh, yes, yes, yes. A little bit more urban. Yeah, come on, we have two hands up the front. New York, a little bit of ice skating at Rockefeller Center, walk through Central Park. If you're thinking about getting engaged or proposing, good place to go. If your fingers aren't too cold, to get the ring out, whatever that process is at that time. New York, great place to spend Christmas. Think of those bagels, freezing hands, slipping on the ice. Okay, what about this one? Come on, anyone? Put up the back. Right, well, I reckon there's about 60% that so far none of these locations. Would you like to just call out, what was your location? Hawaii. Little bit of warmth. Someone else?
Maldives.
Sorry? Okay, Maldives, that's good. Well, look, I just picked four. And obviously, it's just some of my preferences, especially the last three. They're great locations. There's either magnificent scenery. I mean, the Alps are just so sensational, or just great buildings, great architecture, whether it's in Paris, cities in Europe, New York, music, art, food. Imagine sitting on the Champs-Élysées, say, a little bit of terrain with that sort of bubbly, what would it be, bubbly, it's a church, it'd be bubbly, mineral water, great community, it'd be fun. It'll be celebration, and all of these things, all of them are good gifts from a very, very good God. But you're waiting for it, aren't you? It's not quite all tinsel and joy. Because as you're sitting there on the Champs-Élysées, oh, what will I have, another glass of that mineral water? You hear this commotion, and there are flares going off. In fact, there are military vessels and vehicles coming down the Champs-Élysées. It's happening now as we come together and celebrate. What if we go to the land of the free and the brave? Has there ever been a time since the Civil War where the great nation of America has been so divided? Many analysts say no. Ah, but it couldn't be Oz, could it? Sure it could. Homegrown terrorists in our own great city of Melbourne with carnage. And just this week, after a fair bit of debate, laws passed regarding encrypting of message services. We've kind of been stirred out of our lethargy, haven't we? Into the realities of a very broken world. So as try as we might do it, you cannot block out of your mind that the world we live in is in chaos. Do you agree? We can try different ways to try and medicate and put it out, but it's just there in front of us, especially with the media cycle now. And that chaos shows itself up in personal relationships. It shows itself up in Western democracies. Probably in their whole history, they have never struggled as much, whether it's Australia, the US, England, across Germany. It's like a broken system of representation, build up of military arms, and indeed wars being engaged as we meet this night. And friends, you don't need a PhD to go and pinpoint the root cause of such chaos. Chaos has been seen throughout all of human history, and it's actually been seen through every people group. What's the root cause? Ever think about it? What's the root cause for this chaos? It is a lack of responding in true faith to a good and loving God. It is simply not keeping our Creator, the Lord, front and centre in our lives. I wonder, as I say that, what thoughts go through your mind? I mean, does it make sense to you? Is this simply what the average punter would say? But of course he'd say that. I mean, he might have been on holidays, but he's like a paid pastor. Of course he's going to say that. Or could it be that what I've said is really, truly correct? Chaos. Relationships break down at every level. Personal, national, international. Follow me on this. When the one who is love, when the one who is peace, when the one who is goodness, when the one who is wisdom is actually shunted off to the side. Christmas is about Jesus. I mean, there's all sorts of secondary stuff that flows out of a season of celebration, and that's lovely. But first and foremost, Christmas is about Jesus. Three words. Jesus is God. Hope has come down. God himself has come into our neighbourhood. And as I was thinking about the state of the world, I was thinking about these beautiful places that you can go and just the great things that even in a broken world you can enjoy, but then this chaos. I thought of the coming of the Lord Jesus. The term that came to my mind was, Jesus is the chaos destroyer. Jesus is the peace giver. And Jesus is the hope provider. Chaos destroyer, peace giver, and hope provider. They are three true statements. But for each of us, they only remain as true statements if personally we don't actually appropriate them, if we actually don't receive the truth of those statements, that we don't receive the gift of Jesus. And so this receiving, this appropriating of Jesus and that all he brings, we might just simply call that faith. And so just in our few minutes together, I want us just to focus on faith. This Christmas, Christmas 2018, perhaps you need a fresh perspective on what faith is. When we say faith in God, what are we talking about? What is it? If you've been around churches, there's lots of little expressions, phrases that get bandied about. But what do we mean by it? What is faith in God? I want to try and spell this out really simply. Think of three points. God reveals himself to every single person. He speaks into every single person's heart. In the book of Romans, it says you just have to look outside. Just open your eyes, just look at the stars. And the glory and the majesty and the power of God is on display. What's the first point? He speaks into the heart. What I mean by that, he speaks into the inner core of each of us. So we do hear him, without exception. And then the key is, how do we respond to that speaking of the living God into our lives? So what's faith? It's hearing and responding. It's receiving what the Lord's saying and obeying. I wonder then this Christmas, is faith? Is faith in the living God just a little bit blurry? I wonder if this Christmas, whether faith in Jesus specifically might be just a little bit blurry, a little bit hazy in your mind. I invite you to focus on faith with me. Mary is just a magnificent illustration of faith in God. If I put hands up, there might be more than half the people here who've heard that story dozens of times, perhaps hundreds of times. Tonight, Lord, I pray that we will not miss the poignancy of those short verses in Luke chapter 1. Remember, as we just quickly think about Luke 1, I want you to be on the lookout for what God reveals and then how does Mary respond. You with me? Because we're talking about her faith. What does she hear and then what does she do in our reading? In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." I've highlighted just a couple of words in these readings in bold and in yellow to draw your attention. Sent. God sent the angel. It is always God who takes the initiative. He takes the initiative because he loves you, because he cares about you, and he loves his world. And he comes and he speaks into the heart of every person. The living God will be speaking to everyone who is gathered here this night, without exception. He will be speaking into your heart. So sent. What about the other one? Highly favoured, the Lord is with you. That is God's promise for everyone who puts their faith in him. The reading goes on. The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." So much that could be said. Some highlights. Favour with God. Just camp on it. God. He speaks and worlds come into existence. infinite power. You found favour with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son and you're to call him Jesus. This is where the Christmas story, you really need to hang on to your seats. This is the greatest miracle. I think as every year has gone past in my life, the more I've focused on Christmas, the more it actually boggles my mind. Like you're growing up, in my case, you grew up in a church, oh, you're the Christmas story, Jesus was born, you know, God came down. Okay, let's move on, let's go and play some cricket on the beach. Think about it. God, infinite spirit God, comes, takes on human flesh, the God-man, and the God-man is called Jesus, Son of the Most High. His kingdom will never end. Well, you could do a sermon on this, go, okay, we're going to have a barbecue. On all of the promises that were made for hundreds of years that this king would come, a king above all kings, and would establish a kingdom vastly surpassing every other kingdom that has ever existed or will ever exist in this earthly age. And now it's about to happen with the arrival of Jesus. How will this be? Pretty good question by Mary. Let's say it together. I am a virgin. Oh, come on, you seem a little bit. I like it. If it's okay for God to put in the Bible, it's okay for us to say it. Let's say it together. I am a virgin. We're actually talking about Mary, okay? I mean, it's a blooming good question, isn't it? Mary is a young teenage girl, 15 at most, possibly 13. She's a virgin. She mightn't have gone and done university biology, but she knows enough to know how babies are made. And the angel says to her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Do you get this? This is more and more revelation. God is revealing. He's speaking. That's what he does. He's relational. He delights in speaking to his children. And then God, via through his angel, he gives Mary more revelation. And this is kind of revelation to boost her faith. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And the one who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. This is Mary's cousin, Elizabeth. She's an old lady. She is way past childbearing. And she is the mother of John the Baptist. I mean, this is a stunning testimony to God's miraculous power. It's like, imagine Mary. Wow. Like, I can't believe that my cousin, I don't know whether she's 70 or 80 or 90, if God has already done the impossible with her, and the problem that I've raised, that I'm a virgin, tends to drop away a little bit. And so don't miss this. For no word from God will ever fail. That's what the angel says. I get it that it's hard for us to enter completely into this scene. Like 12, 13 years of age, this is when, in those Jewish Palestinian community, they would go through this marriage process. It would be like a 12-month betrothal process. So let's say she's 13 years of age. She's engaged to Joseph. She's waiting for that 12 months to work through. How on earth is she going to respond to this? Try and capture the reality. It's a trouble sometimes when we've heard a story so many times. She knows that this baby to conceive will not be because of the sperm of Joseph. Indeed, the marriage is not completed. And she's going to give birth into a community. Can you imagine the stigma? The names that will be spoken about her? The ostracism, the shame. Does this young 13-year-old girl have real, genuine faith in the living God? Remember, faith is, what is it? It's hearing and it's responding with obedience. This is magnificent. Let's say it together. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And as I looked again this week, I just go, wow, wow, wow. That is faith in God. Did you catch what's happening here? Don't miss these truths. Jesus has come, very God, very man. He's come to bring peace. He is the chaos destroyer. Like, how does he fix this chaos? He does it through his sacrificial death and his mighty resurrection, his victorious resurrection. Check it out, the tomb's empty. And that's why you can never separate Christmas from Easter. The chaos in anyone's life, any person's life, is gone when they turn to the Lord Jesus in faith. And as has happened in the past in major revivals, when a whole community turns to the living God in faith, chaos in that whole community is what? Destroyed. And peace comes. And when Jesus comes back, and that's assert that he is coming back, remember the angel said, no word from God will ever fail, every chaos-creating entity will be removed from the created order forever. She is such a stunning example of faith, young Mary. Because what is told to her seems far-fetched. Do you agree? It seems unimaginable. But this young girl knows that God's word can be truly received and accepted and trusted. She hears and she responds in obedience. And God, the living God, the personal relational God, and I say this without any doubt in my mind, will be speaking to every person who's here tonight. As you listen to the words of the carols, as you hear the word of God read, as you hear the word of God explained, God will be speaking to you. And the question is, how will we respond? It's very personal. How will I respond? How will you respond? Because one option is we might put faith on standby. I know that. I did it for yonks, a long time. God in his mercy kept pursuing me. So you might put on standby and go, no, I hear you, but I reckon Christmas 2019 might be a good time to respond. I think I'd really like to get through the new year first, if that's okay, and like if he's still around, maybe I could respond then. I've actually got some life goals that I really want to kick. I don't know whether this can take me a year or two, but Rod, I'm telling you, it's like when I've kicked those goals, I hear you. I don't disagree with you. I'm going to respond then. But I want you this Christmas to grab a fresh perspective. Sometimes it's becoming less because we're becoming a much more secular society. But sometimes we're going, no, Rod, for heaven's sake, just relax. Like, relax. I have faith. Like, I agree with the teachings of the church. Like, they're really good for society. Like, it's good. But if you put your faith on standby, if you put your faith in anything other than the Lord Jesus, we're vulnerable. So I want to encourage you to be like young Mary. When you hear the Lord, respond to him and respond to him obediently. What does that mean, to respond to him immediately? Jesus, the master communicator, nails it. Right at the beginning of his ministry in Mark 1, this is what responding immediately looks like. At last, the fulfillment of the age has come. It's time for the realm of God's kingdom to be experienced in its fullness. Turn your lives back to God and put your trust in the hope-filled gospel. Into the chaos, God comes. And he comes in the most intimate way. He takes on human flesh. I think that's just unimaginable humility on behalf of the living God. And he's called to me, he's called to each one of us, indeed he's called to the world, is turn to me. Turn back to me. I love you. I adore you. I want to bless you. So as we wrap up for tonight, how are you going to respond this Christmas? My plea, and it is a plea, is don't put faith on standby. Don't sort of just push it over to the side. God, the creator of heaven and earth, desires that we respond when? Now. Does it sound a bit over the top? Why would it be, I want them to respond now? Is this some monarch of the universe who just likes to get his own way? Ultra-demanding king of the universe? Is that who he is? No, he's not that. No. He wants us to respond when? Now. And let's make it personal, because it is the truth of Scripture, because he adores you. Because he loves you. Because he wants the best for you. He wants the best for your family. He wants the best for your life in every aspect of your life. So I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you tonight to respond. There is no downside. It's all upside. And this turning to Jesus is a continuing reality. Think of verbs like it's walking with him. It's talking with him. It's listening to him. It's honouring him. It's worshipping him. That's actually what we're made for. And it is the most beautiful experience in life. If tonight you have simply, for the first time, put your trust in Jesus, then I'd love you to come and talk to one of the members of the staff team so we can pray with you, give you some material and encourage you and bless you. Friends, it's this simple. He is the chaos destroyer, and the world is in chaos. And Jesus comes in love to destroy chaos. He comes to bring peace. He is the hope provider, because hope has actually come down. I'm going to encourage you just to remain seated as the worship band comes and joins us, and as we sing to you a beautiful worship song, When Hope Came Down.